Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check us out on Five Reasons YouTube. All of our episodes here go there, but also before floor, an hour before every Heat game. Post up 5R as soon as the Heat game ends. New episodes of Starting Nine, Dono Daily, and many other streams. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss anything. Also, fivereasonsports.com. Make sure you spell that one out. The latest from Brady Hawk and others. We got a great piece about Mike McDaniel from Luke Chaney that just went up on the site as well. So we do cover more than just the Heat there. And we cover it for free, right? We do not have a paywall. So you don't have to pay that $3 a month with us. Also, we got a new sponsor here on the show. It's called NordVPN, N-O-R-D-V-P-N, online security. Starts with a click. NordVPN encrypts your internet traffic and hides your IP and virtual location. NordVPN helps protect you against bandwidth throttling from internet providers, where ISPs slow down your internet to get you to upgrade. You don't want that. NordVPN also allows you to switch your country IP address to access Netflix, Disney Plus, YouTube Premium, and all that other cool stuff when you're in other countries for cheaper prices. NordVPN offers unparalleled browsing security and protection from hacking of personal data. So get your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/5RSN. That, of course, is our product code, number 5RSN. Or use the promo code 5RSN to get a discount on your NordVPN plan and one additional month for free and a bonus gift at checkout. Okay, so the code again at nordvpn.com is 5RSN, all completely risk-free with NordVPN's 30-day money-back guarantee. nordvpn.com/5RSN or use the promo code 5RSN and start saving with the world's leading VPN provider. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. We had a little bit of break for the Super Bowl and for my birthday weekend. So appreciate all the well wishes there. I'm officially old if I wasn't before. Today's floor plan, I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. I've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We have done Bam Adebayo episodes intermittently. I feel like they're always about the same thing because with Bam, it's not about talent. We know that. He can pretty much do anything, you know, provided that he has the right mindset for it. And so when he came back from his long injury, we talked about mindset a lot. And then there were some blips there early on. Maybe he was feeling his way a little bit. Maybe this the switch hadn't flipped for him, but it seems to have now. And there's statistical proof of this. This is an eye test thing, but it's also a numbers thing, Greg. And I know some of the others in the Five Reasons Sports Network, whether it was Gad or Ariel or Brady, have helped us with some of these numbers. But everything is on the uptick right now. And I keep saying this, so this is how I'm going to preface this episode. We talked about the trade deadline and additions that they might need to make or might not need to make. And when PJ Tucker got hurt the other night, everybody's like, oh God, they should have done something. And then we also talk about Victor Oladipo coming back. But I will maintain this and I will continue to maintain this. The most important thing in the playoffs, because the minutes go up for your best players, because they have to match the minutes on the other teams, on the other team in terms of their best players, the most important thing is that your best players play at an elite level. That's how you win a championship. Bam Adebayo is starting to do that on the offensive end, Greg.
Yes. So I'm glad that you called out some of the folks in the network because I sent out the bat signal to get some Bam stats and Gadiel Cardiena, which you can follow at Gadiel Cardiena, Ariel Latias, and Brady Hawk. all part of the network, helped with these statistics. So shout out to those guys. Also, John Jablanka, he sent some stats as well that I think is worth calling out. So rather than go line by line on who gave me all of the stats, I'm shouting all y'all out right off the bat. This is crazy. So check this out. Bam's first 26 games, he was averaging 12.8 field goal attempts, 35% on shots outside 5 feet, 31% on pull-up jumpers, and 5.8 free throw attempts. In his last six games, he's shooting almost 16 field goal attempts a game, 44% on shots outside 5 feet, 44% on pull-up jumpers, 6 free throws a game. So that was, I thought, really eye-opening to just see how he heard us. He heard the aggression stuff. He heard the, you need to get more shots up. And then this is the other thing that coincides here. And I think that we'll kind of unpack all of the different angles of this as we go forward, but we would be remiss if we didn't mention that this coincides with Kyle Lowry returning. And a really interesting statistic around that is that Bam averages almost 2 more field goal attempts per game when Lowry plays. So Bam with Kyle is at 19, 10 and 3 on 14 field goal attempts at 53%. Without, he's at 17, 10 and 4 on 12 field goal attempts and 52%. So again, that's just showing that it's kind of the perfect storm of Kyle being back, getting everyone organized, Bam finding his confidence, and them needing it right now more than ever also. So to me, it's all super positive, and we love when the eye test and the data support each other.
Alex, we talked about how Duncan Robinson needs Bam. Right. I mean, he needs him as that trigger for dribble handoffs and everything along those lines. And to a certain degree, Jimmy and Bam need Duncan for space. But we also kind of predicted this, that Kyle Lowry is necessary to this equation also, because without him, they are the team from last season, except without Goran Dragic. And so, you know, one thing that has stuck out to me, I want you to handle this more so than from the statistical standpoint, which Greg just covered, but from the how it looks on the floor standpoint, because it seems to me that the one thing that Kyle Lowry does, and we said this, you and I both said this, and Brady said it during preseason, was the one thing that Kyle Lowry will not allow Bam to do is to get off the hook. That when Kyle sends the ball into Bam, he gets out of the way. He's not going to allow Bam to send it back to him and go back to his instincts, which is unselfishness. And that's the kind way of putting it. There are other ways that we've described it here where he doesn't want to be aggressive, right? Where he's more of a type B personality than a type A personality. Kyle won't let him get away with that. How have you seen him that manifest itself in the past 5 games?
Oh, I mean, it's just gotten to another level. Like, I feel like everything that everybody has been wanting to see from Bam, you've gotten it from him immediately, right, throughout these past few games. And even though he didn't take a whole lot of shots last game, I don't have it in front of me, but I remember looking at the shot attempts. It was pretty evenly distributed against the Nets. But the way that he was playing was in the flow of the game. And there were still moments where, you know, you could have asked for more from him. I think there was one play where he had, like, Kyrie on him. He could have backed him down, but, you know, he's gotten a lot better at it. And I think you see, you've had these games where, you know, the Hornets game, he took 21 shots, other games he's taken more. And, you know, Leif just said the average is there. The numbers are the numbers, right? Like, he's getting way more attempts. He's getting a lot of easy looks. And like you said, Lowry just doesn't let him kind of shy away from the opportunity when it's actually there for him. Cause I think a lot of times it's like in his mind, like we talked about before, him scoring was kind of one of the lesser options. And it's more about getting everybody else involved with the amount of kind of guards they had that need screens to get open and get advantages. So I don't know. I think Lowry just makes the game easier for him, where he just doesn't have to think too much. He doesn't have to try to make reads for everybody, make everybody better all the time. And this is stuff that we talked about going into the season. Like you said, we knew this was going to happen, but the way that it's happened the past few games, it's just been like, you know, like if they've been playing together forever, and we know how little they actually got to play together before all the injuries and everything that's been going on with COVID. You know, I just think in general, Lowry makes Bam's job so much easier. He's going to get him all the lob attempts. He's going to get him the mid-range jumpers when they're there. It's really just kind of simplifying the game for Bam.
And I think when you look at it from Bam's perspective, he has been annoyed. You can tell. I mean, he's made comments about this, about the idea that he has to score first, right? And I think it's twofold. I think one, it's that it denotes a lack of appreciation for the other things that he does. And that's one of the, I think, the reasons that Spoelstra is always calling reporters out when they come after Bam on this. But I also think it's because Bam knows internally that it's an issue. And he has said it so many times after games, and we've pointed that out as well, Greg, that, you know, he's acknowledged it. And then fans are always like, I don't want to hear this again, because it always comes after a game where he's had like 8 shot attempts. But I felt like the 7-for-21 was a breakthrough. And we talked about it a lot after that game, that I would rather have the 7-of-21 than the 5-of-9, because if he's taking the 7-of-21 and they win anyway, then I think that it kind of takes away one of the excuses for not doing it, right? Like, which is, well, if I shoot that much, I'm taking everybody else out of their rhythm, and I don't want to be unselfish, and I, you know, I want to be the good teammate. But he went 7-for-21. He missed a ton of bunnies in that game, and they won anyway, right, Greg? So then we see the 7-for-21s are turning into the 12-for-21s, and that's when you start to have, again, that elevation from star to superstar.
Yeah, and you know who else doesn't like this conversation and gets very annoyed, borderline pissed when asked about it in postgame pressers? That's Eric Spoelstra. Like, he does not like the Bam field goal attempt conversations. And I thought Steve Jones Jr., who's on the dunker spot, he can be followed at Steve Jones 20. He pulled some clips from the recent game in Charlotte at what Bam does defensively and the things that he covers up for everyone else and the amount of floor that he covers up. And I just think the thing that gets lost on the offensive minded fan who wants to see Bam get aggressive on that end is what he's, how aggressive and how much he's covering on the defensive end. And if that were to be quantified in counting stats, we maybe wouldn't have as much of a conversation about Bam being aggressive, because he's being so aggressive defensively. It's just not always in the way that we want to see it, which is offense. And so to see the offense start to catch up to the defense recently is really strong. But I think that we should also acknowledge to Eric Spoelstra and Bam Adebayo's credit is that the things he's doing as we're seeing this uptick in offense, the things he's still executing on defense, just shows like the reason why I keep screaming no ceiling. And so I would encourage everyone, go to Steve Jones Jr.'s timeline, watch the clips of him pointing out what Bam did in Charlotte. It's unbelievable, some of the stuff that he was able to do. And now it's gotten to the point, Ethan, where in the last game when Kyrie was going off, the Nets made it a point to never use the guy Bam was covering to come and screen for Kyrie, so that they could never switch Bam onto Kyrie. That's an interesting thing to see a team do all of a sudden. And I just think that we shouldn't take it for granted.
Well, the other thing we shouldn't take for granted is that it's exhausting. I mean, what he's doing on the defensive end is exhausting. I mean, he's not Dwayne Wade. Okay. But Bam is being paid like a franchise player, and he is the sort of the next franchise mantle piece, you know, in terms of, you know, going from Dwayne, and now you have sort of the Jimmy era, but ultimately it's going to be Bam or Bam with somebody else. And, you know, I think that we forget that, like, Dwayne rested on defense for many years, right? I mean, greatest, you know, two guard shot blocker in history. And certainly he was capable of doing plenty of great things on the defensive end. And we saw that in the big three era, even when he wasn't 100% creating those skirmishes with LeBron and getting in the passing lanes. And Dwayne could lock you up if he was engaged in it, but he took a lot of possessions off, particularly late. And the defensive metrics showed it. Bam's not taking defensive possessions off, Alex. Like, I mean, he's literally the linchpin of the defense. I mean, even Jimmy, who is a great defender, is mostly playing passing lanes, which is not the same as what Bam is being asked to do. You can make an argument that Bam is asked to do more defensively than any other player in the league in terms of just ground he has to cover, different types of players he has to cover, the way that he has to cover up for certain guys on the Heat. We know Tyler Duncan and some others who maybe need it at times. So sometimes I just get the feeling on offense, he's kind of doing the opposite of what Dwayne used to do, which is that he's going to rest on offense, but not lately.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Like, that's kind of how I look at it too. And that's why I've always felt he's been worth the max contract since day one, is because, like, what he does on defense cannot be matched by most players in the world. Like, he's on the level defensively of Draymond Green, of, you know, Kawhi in his prime. Name other elite defender, you know, insert other elite defender here, Giannis. Like, I just think in general, he is that caliber defender, and the versatility, like you were talking about there, like, it's just, it's immeasurable, right? I think it's really invaluable when you, when it comes to Bam Adebayo, and people have talked about it in the past, including other players. Like, I saw a quote once, D'Angelo Russell, the Timberwolves point guard, talking about Bam and this exact stuff that we're talking about, just kind of like the defensive versatility and that being such a standout thing. You know, I just think what he does is so impactful already. And now you talk about him turning it up on offense. He's been turning it up on defense too. Like, the steal and block percentages have actually gone up. Obviously, it's a small sample since he's been back, but like, they're up, and they're up by a lot. And then you talk about what he does already without the steals and the blocks. Like, it's just, he might be the best defensive player in the world. It's to me, it's him or Draymond. Like, I think obviously Bam is way more athletic. Draymond is kind of a quicker processor, but it's really just what he does is special. So now you've got him kind of leveling up into this better, more aggressive offensive player. We all know what that does for the Heat ceiling and for Bam's own ceiling. I just think it's like the offense is catching up to the defense, and he's figuring it out. I think we've been saying it. This was going to be a gradual process, and it's happening gradually.
We're going to come back and talk about the next step, because like you say, Alex, it's happening gradually, but we're never satisfied, right? Like, that is, I mean, if you're going to compete for a championship this year, with as many teams as are in the mix in the East, and then you've got to deal potentially with a Phoenix or a Golden State or a Memphis. Notice the team I'm not mentioning, or the teams I'm not mentioning on the other side. This has to keep going. And also, Bam may be required to help take care of the Heat's biggest weakness. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. But we do want to tell you about another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. So many of our sponsors here are local, and this is a new one, but you got to check them out. It's All Pro Construction Builders. You know, in South Florida, no matter what the weather is, hurricane season is always around the corner. So get on it now. You got to protect your home or business. Make sure to contact All Pro Construction Builders. They specialize in impact windows and doors for residential and commercial properties. All Pro Construction Builders is a state certified licensed and insured general contractor. They service Miami-Dade and Monroe counties. So again, everybody says we don't have anything to the south of us here in Broward. Miami-Dade and Monroe, they service both of them. They use only locally made products, American made, and they're family owned and operated. So you only deal with the owner from start to finish. Reach out to our guy, Danny, at 305-484-4429. That's 305-484-4429. They offer competitive pricing, but still quality service. And if you mention Five Reasons Sports, any variation of it, you'll get a 10% discount, and you'll always get a free estimate. Again, check them out on Instagram. It's All Pro Construction Builders. Reach out to Danny at 305-484-4429. Support local. All right, let's get to the next step here. The Heat's biggest problem this year is, Greg?
They don't have any problems as far as
they
I'm
have
concerned.
A problem. Alex, what is their what is their biggest problem this year?
I feel like a teacher's calling on me in class. It's like I'm starting to sweat profusely, but no, like
it's too cold to sweat today, Alex. And you're standing outside while you do this podcast.
Yeah, no, okay? I'm sitting outside trying not to disturb the people in my house, and I'm freezing because it's 62 over here, and that's freezing in South Florida.
Bring out the parka.
But no, seriously, I guess the Heat's biggest problem, if I had to say, is like consistent half court scoring when things get hard. And so I don't know if that's where you were gonna go into with Bam, but obviously.
Particularly in the last five minutes. Yeah. Okay. So I'll start with you then, Alex. How does he help solve this? Can he be more involved in that process?
Oh, absolutely. I guess not even a question here. I mean, when you talk about, first of all, I think Spo's pep play in the fourth quarter, as we've noticed, and he did it in the bubble too, but now he's using it with Lowry as, you know, the point guard screening for Jimmy. And we talked about it plenty. You know, he tries to get the switch on the smaller player. And if not, he's still able to kind of turn the corner, even if he isn't able to get the switch. So I think we're going to see a lot of that in the playoffs, in the crunch time offense. But as far as Bam, like, he should absolutely be a part of it more. And we've talked about it before. It's like, it shouldn't just be plays for Jimmy and Tyler to get going and get their own bucket. Like, I just think they could run a lot of what they do throughout the game in the fourth quarter, whether it be the handoff or not. Like, anything that gets Bam going is a good idea, because the dude is a walking mismatch. So I think trying to get him in certain positions that they get him in throughout the game, specifically with Lowry back, and they're running more of their playbook from this season as opposed to the last couple. So I just think like getting Bam more involved in those fourth quarter opportunities is kind of essential at this point. I think they should be doing that stuff now, so he's getting more used to it, you know, kind of winding up into the playoffs. I just think like between the mid-range shot, between him being able to get to the basket, you know, the tight handle he has for a big, like there's a lot of stuff you can do there. Obviously him as a screener and roller, that's a given at this point. Like the fact that he's so versatile, not only on defense, but on offense, I think is something that's going to be used by Spo in the playoffs. I just think, you know, they could use a little bit more right now. I feel like they're in a place where they already know what works. They already know that they're really good. And we've already seen Spo play around with other stuff like Bam and Deadman minutes. But as far as like playbook stuff, getting Bam going in the fourth quarter and some of those minutes, I think that's probably the best idea that they can go with going into the playoffs. I feel like that you get him as confident as possible and, you know, no ceiling, like Leif likes to say.
Right. And I couldn't agree with you more. And it boils down to some of this, like the guys who are guarding Bam, they're not respecting his jump shot. Like they're way off of him. Like I saw someone on the timeline, I can't remember who, and shout out to Fez, who's been a longstanding member of Heat Twitter. Cause when I asked him what was the uptick in Bam's performance, he just said culture. And I agreed with him, but no, that's just a little shout out there. Like when you watch the Brooklyn game, they were sagging way off of Bam. He had that jump shot all day. So like, I think the next evolution is him just not even thinking about it and going up. But this is another thing that I think we should remember as the playoffs get closer. Certain matchups are going to require certain things from different players, right? So if they get matched up with Philly and you are asking Bam to take care of Embiid for an entire series, I don't think that that's the series where we need Bam to get 20 field goal attempts per game because of what he has to do defensively. Now, there could be cases to be made for putting the pressure on Embiid and getting him in foul trouble. So picking your spots, I'm all about it. But in a matchup like that, I think you'd have to look for your scoring elsewhere to some degree. And then there's other matchups like how about the Celtics since they got Daniel Tice back that he could absolutely dominate. So I just think that the late game stuff, Bam not even thinking twice on pulling up on some of those shots, and let's live and die with some of the results on that because nobody else is shooting that much better in the clutch anyway on this team. And then just remembering that different matchups are going to require different things from Bam as we get closer to the playoffs.
I think the one thing that is in Bam's favor and in the Heat's favor here is that I think Jimmy wants Bam to become this player and has been consistent about the fact that he wants him to be that player.
Of course.
But I don't think that Jimmy is going to cede some of the stuff in the last couple of minutes until Bam really goes and gets it. Like that is the next step, you know, because Jimmy has still kind of held on to the throttle on that. And I do think he'll give it up to Kyle more, but I don't get the sense. You don't see Jimmy feeding Bam down the stretch of games. That's never been really a thing. I think if Bam starts to show that he'll do it, I do think Jimmy will give up on some of that responsibility. I think it's been a little of both of them. I think Kyle is intelligent enough. Well, I know he is. Okay. And we've seen it to know that their ceiling at the end of games is higher playing through Bam more than it is playing through Jimmy and Jimmy taking step backs. Okay. Jimmy going to the basket like he did the other night is another thing, but the step back jumper for Jimmy should never have to be a thing with this roster at the end. It just shouldn't. I mean, they have enough options. Okay. Whether it's you're running dribble handoffs for shooters, or you got PJ Tucker in the corner, you can do drive and kick, or whether or not, again, it's as you're talking about the screen and roll with Bam, there are enough options here that they should not have to go to. That should not happen ever with this team. And that's why it may not be one guy, but Bam inserting himself into the mix here is critical for them. All right. We do want to mention before we go our product code again, 5RSN. Again, you can use that at Vord. NordVPN. I'm going to get it right here by the sixth time I read it. NordVPN.com, but also at therapistpreferred.com, for 20%, 25% off, manscaped.com for 20% off, and therapist, excuse me, I'll get through this one today. And also getsalise.com for 10% off. Okay. Again, that's 5RSN, getsalise.com, manscaped.com, and also therapistpreferred.com. All right. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.